This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, as we welcome you back on a Wednesday, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. We do have, of course, Wednesdays, we always are thrilled to welcome in professional handicapper, 30-plus years there in Vegas, one of the good guys, Scott Spritzer, Doc Sports, docsports.com. Of course, Scott wins on Twitter. Quickly, the Rangers are up 7-0. I was way off on Eflin, way off on the Rays. No bite today, so 7-0, bottom seven. The Rangers up on the Rays. End of one, Blue Jays Twins, 0-0 there in Minnesota. Of course, the Blue Jays lose, they go home. The Rays lose, they stay home. Wanted to let you guys know quickly as we open up the segment here with Scott Spritzer. They've got a really cool thing going on over at Doc Sports on Thursdays and Fridays. It's usagainstthespread.docsports.com. So here's the deal. It's $19.99 per month, and they're going to discuss upwards of 100 games. So Thursdays and Fridays, up against the spread. Go to Doc Sports for more information. If Scott Spritzer's involved, trust me, it's going to be worth the price. As we say hi to Scott, I was off on Eflin. I know you have a handicapping tool for Major League Baseball in the postseason. I was off on the Rays, man. I'm just kind of bummed out about that. And we do have the Blue Jays and Twins. Any thoughts on those two series before we get into your handicapping tool here?
Yeah, I do think, you know, not backing Sonny Gray is tough to do. So I backed Sonny Gray, and I can tell you why in a bit, besides the obvious reasons. In the first five innings today. And then as far as the D-backs and Brewers, I like Zach Gallen in this one. Again, first five innings, I think they can get the job done. The good news in Tampa is that only like 15,000 people have seen their team lose two straight games. So I guess that would be the good news. My gosh, they're not supporting this team at all. I heard Dustin earlier when I was driving in, I was listening to the show, and I believe it was Dustin that brought it up, that, you know, this just isn't the same Tampa Bay team, unfortunately, for that organization that we saw early on in the season. You look at all the pitching injuries. You look at one of their top players getting in trouble legally with some alleged situations going on. And it's just a team that, you know, probably would have lost four out of five games to the team that opened the season when you talk about Tampa Bay. And you know, you got the Bruce Bochy effect, too. The guy knows how to win world championships. He's done it more than once. It's a tough spot for Tampa. I thought they would at least win one game out of two. But again, as far as any of the other action that I like, it's the Twins and the D-backs, both in the first five innings.
Okay, boys. Getting some notes here. You have a handicapping tool for the baseball playoffs that combines home runs with pitchers who have low home run rates. Can we get into the tool here?
Yeah, first of all, this was great yesterday. I forget what game I was watching, and it might have been before the Phillies game, but anyway, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is they threw up a graphic during the game on the network broadcast talking about a team's record in the playoffs when they hit more home runs in a game than their opponent. Now, it sounds like an obvious winner. It is. After yesterday, it's 130 wins and 23 losses in the postseason going back to 2018. Wow. And so what I – kind of knowing that already, and a couple of the guys that I talk about these games with every single day, what we did going into the postseason was look and see if there were any major home run differentials between the teams that are playing each other in these series. And I got it on my phone here so I could make sure that I recalled it correctly. For instance, Philadelphia goes into last night's game with 220 home runs, Miami 166. That's an obvious big difference. And you had Wheeler on the mound with a .104 home run ratio. And you had Lusardo, who had a .128 home run ratio towards innings pitched, home runs towards innings pitched. So you got an obvious advantage there with Wheeler over Lusardo. And, of course, the Phillies in that game over Miami, they got the job done. It went 2-0 yesterday. The other one was the Minnesota Twins over the Blue Jays, 233 homers to 188. And you had to kind of give a little bit of an arbitrary decision to bet this because Lopez did have a 123 home runs to innings pitched ratio. But again, you had a plus 45 home run situation when it came to the Twins over the Jays. Interestingly enough, the two dogs that won yesterday, I mean, they're basically, virtually even with the favorite when it comes to home runs hit on the season. Now, this is pretty alarming, and we'll see if it comes to fruition. And I mentioned I played the Twins' first five innings today. They not only have now a plus 47 home run differential over the Blue Jays on the season, but Sonny Gray has a .043 home runs per innings pitch ratio. Barrios, 131.131. Big advantage on the mound in that situation. If it backs it up with the way these teams hit the long ball, then it should be hopefully a Twins win, at least in the first five innings. But that record is 130-23 going into today after going 2-0 yesterday.
Wow, that's a big number. Do you guys are you guys getting involved with the two coming up? Diamondbacks, Brewers, big guy, and Amal, and of course Scott Spritzer, Marlins, Phillies. I'll give you the numbers right now. As you take a look, and maybe we can apply the tool that you just mentioned, Scott. Right now in the market, you've got Gallen, Peralta. Peralta's laying $1.30 for the Brewers. Of course, Garrett at Nola. Nola's laying $1.45. The three of you on either of these two?
I took the Arizona Diamondbacks in this one. I thought the price on Gallen at plus 118 against Peralta, good spot here. The Arizona offense has been more efficient. And by the way, Corbin Burns is allegedly an ace. No, he's not. I'm sorry. You're not getting work like that in your home ballpark in a crucial game if you're an ace.
I am okay. On the under in this one. Freddy Peralta is a stud. Zach Gallen actually was good on the road against Milwaukee earlier this year. He's been good against the Brewers. I think he's going to limit them. We saw a lot of run scoring last night. I think we're going to get the opposite tonight in what is a ace versus ace matchup. So I went under 7.5.
Yeah, right there with me, you, under 7.5.
I like the D-backs, like I mentioned, in the first five innings. Check this out. I got two numbers I want to throw at you guys here. Yesterday I mentioned Philadelphia worked that home run angle, and when you look at the pitchers and their ratios, home run ratios, Nola has a .165 home runs to innings pitched ratio. That's horrible for these playoff teams, and especially guys pitching, you know, first, second, or third in the playoffs postseason. And Peralta's up there too, 156 home runs to innings pitched ratio, while Zach Gallen comes in at a .104, which is, other than Gray, I mean, that's tied for second best with Wheeler yesterday, that home runs per nine innings pitch ratio. So, Diamondbacks and Brewers, they were almost even. Diamondbacks had 166 long balls, Brewers 165. So there's not an advantage there. The reason I played first five was basically Gallen over Peralta.
Wow. And so, again, Major League playoffs, Major League Baseball playoffs, combining the home runs with pitchers who have a low home run rate. The number, it's an overwhelming number. Can you give me the stat again?
It's 130-23. That's just, and it was provided by the network yesterday during one of the games. And that's just teams that hit more home runs in that game against their opponent, 130-23 going back to 2018. And, it's rare that you get a juicy stat like that by the networks. And, again, we kind of knew it. We didn't have the exact numbers, but we had already started last year looking at this and then looking and matching up pitchers who have, if they're on the same team as the home run leading team, if they have a better home run ratio. And, 2-0 yesterday, we'll see what it happens today. The big difference was the Twins today would fit that scenario. But, again, in both instances, I only played the first five innings, the D-backs and the Twins. I didn't go full game. You saw a lot of pitchers yesterday in that Twins game.
Yep, and Scott mentioned first five with the Snakes coming up. And it looks like, is Sonny Gray going to get out of trouble here, boys? He did get out of trouble.
Springer flies out to right field, and, I mean, you talk about absolutely an atom ball. I think he took one step back.
There was runners on second and third. I know he had a 2-2 count with two out, and he did get out. So Sonny Gray, look at the big guy breathing easy. I see you sweating.
I get really frustrated with baseball because in my brain I feel, and Scott, you're a baseball guy, so you probably relate to this. I think I know more about baseball. But that doesn't mean I win more bets in baseball, and it really frustrates the heck out of me. Like, I thought we had a good angle to go against Eovaldi, who I didn't think was healthy, and he just mowed Tampa Bay down. On this side, I like Sonny Gray. I think he's better, and I think Barrios is kind of a soft guy and kind of an example of what's wrong with Toronto as a whole. Like, a lot of guys, you just don't have that killer instinct. So I'm hoping Gray comes through.
Don't you think the Toronto batting coach is out after this year? I mean, this team, yeah, going into this season, I don't know if I did a show before the season began with you guys. I think we did a couple. And I was talking about how I really thought the home runs would pick up for Toronto this year, especially bringing the fences in a little bit on their home field. And it ends up being the other way around. I mean, again, they're 47 home runs less than their opponent in this series, the Minnesota Twins. And you got some good heavy hitters that just didn't get it done this year.
Yeah, this is a team that needs to get better hitting the baseball, and Scott's absolutely right.
Yeah, and Vlad Guerrero is on my diet plan. He just keeps getting worse and worse.
By the way, the longest inning streak without a run in Major League Baseball postseason history, 33, the Rays coming into 22-23. So coming into the bottom of the seventh, they had gone 33 straight innings without scoring a run. They just plated one in the bottom of the seventh. 34 is the record, 66 through 74 with the Angels. So, again, 33 straight innings until just plating a run for the Rays in the bottom of the seventh where they hadn't scored a run. That's not great. It's not great if you're looking at it. Okay, and you mentioned, Scott, this is – I don't know where you put baseball as far as your favorite sports, but it's right up there. I know it's a sport year in, year out you get into as far as handicapping as well.
This is my favorite sport as a fan to watch. I love – there's nothing better to me than to go in a Major League Baseball game with a couple of guys and sitting there and having a couple of the cold ones and telling stories and watching the game. So, for me, it's my favorite thing to attend. I'm not a big NFL in-person guy. I like it better on TV. NHL's great in person, but, again, Major League Baseball where I can kick back, I love that with a couple of friends and a couple of cold ones. That's my favorite sport to watch. Handicapping-wise, baseball's the most interesting, but for me, the NFL's probably the most lucrative, NFL and NBA.
I'll tell you what, baseball's my favorite sport to bet on. You know why? Because when you're on offense, it's the only sport where nothing bad can happen. You could have the ball at the one-yard line. You might be looking at someone going 99 the other way.
The reason it's such a good postseason sport, it's simple. No clock.
Yep.
It's the one sport without a clock. So the postseason just goes well into the night. It's postseason baseball is amazing. When we return, Scott does have some NFL plays, and we'll get to college football next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all of the best bets from our show hosts and guests, including Scott Spritzer. You'll also get unlimited, and Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson have been hot top the VSiN Experts leaderboard. So, again, it's easily sortable. You can follow by host and guests, sport, matchup. It's all categorized there. Plus, we email you the picks every single day. Bill AD will send you updates throughout the day. It's vsin.com/subscribe. You can get in right now. Introductory offer for as low as $19. Scott Spritzer is here. Of course, professional handicapper Doc Sports, docsports.com. Scott wins with two T's on Twitter. Us against the spread. That is a new one they've got going over at Doc Sports. It's $19.99. It's Thursday and Friday. I assure you it's going to be awesome. Go over to Doc Sports to check that out. Up to 100 games discussed. Okay, speaking of games, let's get into college football with Mr. Spritzer. This was one we were talking about futures in the SEC, and Alabama was at the top of Amal Shaw's list. This is a big one. College Station, Bama, A&M. Right now, Scott, we'll start with you. I've got Bama laying 2 at A&M this weekend.
Yeah, you know, I was looking to jump in on A&M. I got a little bit concerned the more I thought about Weigman being injured a couple of weeks ago. Their quarterback, and then they're going to go with Max Johnson. Johnson played well when he was forced into action in that win over Auburn. The thing that concerns me a little bit now with A&M is that, you know, all 17 of their second half points against Arkansas came from special teams and defense rather than from the offense. But the reactions I'm seeing right now, guys, on the sideline, when I watch Jalen Milroe, when he's being, you know, lambasted to a certain extent by Saban, it's kind of weird. It's a combination of, it looks like, embarrassment, fear, and anger all rolled into one. I don't know if you guys watched last week's game, but when he struggled a couple of times, you know, and Saban does what he does, he's over there and he's talking to him, and he just looked like he wanted to be anywhere else but there. It was like a combination of, I got to hide under the bench and I want to strangle my coach. It just had that look to me. And that concerns me about Alabama right now, because you got to be thick-skinned, extremely thick-skinned, to play for Nick Saban, especially the quarterback position. So I was looking anyway at last year's game. I mean, they held Milroe to 111 yards passing in the 24-20 Bama win, and A&M did beat Bama at College Station 2 years ago, so it makes you think that Jimbo kind of knows a little bit about staying close or beating the Alabama Crimson Tide. Not only came close last year, but that win 2 years ago came against Bryce Young. And remember who Jimbo's quarterback was, Zach Calzada, a 56% passer with less than a 2-to-1 touchdown-to-INT ratio in that season. So he's done a good job against better quarterbacks and better Bama offenses than they're seeing this year. But, boy, that number's short. It's down to 1.5. I kind of lean more towards the under than I do the side here. I see 46. I've seen 47s out there if folks want to jump on the under, shop around a little bit. Lean towards the under. As far as the side, boy, if it was Weigman, I'd be jumping on A&M. I just don't trust Max Johnson with the way that offense looked in the second half last week.
Patrick, I love Scott's breakdown, and he brings up a good point in terms of this under. I like Bama to win this game, but if you want to make a better play, I think it's on this total under. These are both top 25 defenses, and that's where really the rubber's going to meet the road for these offenses. Where I have a problem with A&M is this. Max Johnson, as Scott alluded to, has played well. I don't trust him in a big spot against a big-time team. That's where the difference is going to be. When you look at what Texas was able to do, they beat Alabama through the air. Jatavion Sanders was the difference. That dude doesn't exist on A&M's roster. They don't have Xavier Worthy. And kicking game, both these teams are very level. You look at Will Reichard for Alabama, great kicker. Bond for Texas A&M, another very good kicker. So both teams, field goals are going to be opportunities in this game to score. I think this is going to be a more conservative football game. I tell you right now, this feels like 20-17. I'm going to stay with my position on the Crimson Tide, but the both kickers are going to be the difference in this one for whichever side wins.
Absolutely love the under in this matchup. Totally agree. Don't trust Max Johnson at all. Big guy, you got anything, Bama, A&M?
Yeah, you know, when this line first came out, I saw it as A&M plus 4 at one book, and I liked A&M plus 4 at that point. Obviously, I've waited way too long. There's no sense in betting it now. I'm also with them all on the fact that it's a great buy-low time for Alabama. I've got them 40-1 to win the national title. It's a ticket that I think will be live late that I can hedge against, because I see them winning the SEC West, taking on a Georgia team that's not all that great, and I don't see the SEC getting held out of the Final Four here of the college football playoff. So I think it's a ticket that could be interesting, and I'm buying super low on them.
Okay, boys, next up, Colorado, Arizona State. So this one's interesting, Scott, because we know how bad Arizona State is, but Colorado having lost two straight, that was more of an indictment on USC than it was anything as far as Colorado. We can get into that a little bit, but this number got as high as 6.5. Okay, it's back down to 4.5. So again, this number got bet up over at DraftKings all the way up to 6.5. It's come down a little bit. Colorado laying 4.5 at Arizona State, Scott.
I like the fight in Colorado if they were down like 34-7, because that looked like it was going to be a boat race like the Oregon game. But one of the things I had talked about last week, I was asked on a Wednesday night show that I do in the Midwest, and they said, are you on the game, Colorado, USC? And I said, no. Who would you take? And I think you might have asked me that too, Patrick, last week as we were going off the air, and I said, I'd take Colorado plus the points for the simple reason that USC is bad in space on defense, and they are, and we saw it again last week. And they can say that USC kind of shut things down a little bit, up 34-7, and I think it was 48-21 at one point. But they're also bad in space on defense. Well, Arizona State's bad too. This is also the first time since day one this season that Colorado isn't involved in some super hyped, all week long, intense prep and intense game setting for the entire campaign thus far. They were never Colorado in my top 40 in power ratings, top 40. But like I said on so many shows last week, they have the skilled personnel to score a lot of points when they can get just a little bit of protection for Shedeur Sanders. There's a chance of a letdown. There is that, because this is, you know, their first game this season where there hasn't been an extremely high amount of hype. But I think Deion can keep his team focused. The fact that they kept fighting for what Deion was preaching last week against SC after dropping down tells me that he can keep this team focused. You're going to lose your job, potentially your spot in school, in that particular school, if you don't come out and play hard every week for Deion. And again, they had that huge win over TCU. They come out the next week when you would think they had a chance for a letdown. He doesn't let this team let down the very next week. ASU has gone through 5 quarterbacks this season, and those 5 quarterbacks have 5 touchdowns and 8 interceptions combined. And there's pressure on the quarterback because the Sun Devils can't run the football less than 90 yards on the ground per game. I think Colorado gets it done here, 7-10-point win.
Patrick, I agree with Scott, and I'll tell you, to me, the number's a little bit short of 3.5. This Arizona State team was competitive against Cal, but the reality is USC allowed them to hang around with bad coaching decisions, bad defensive play. Now, all of a sudden, we're used to seeing Colorado catching the last couple of weeks 3 touchdowns. Now they're laying 3.5 on the road, not an ideal spot. But, guys, this Arizona State team, I think, is the worst team in the Pac-12, minus the two Bay Area schools. And even Cal beat them. So you can't even include Cal in that conversation. This is a good opportunity. And the one area where I kind of differ a little bit than Scott is I think this team will be focused. I don't think it's going to be a letdown because they've lost two in a row. So I think it's a good opportunity to get back on track for this team to get 4-2 and move forward as the schedule continues to get more challenging.
And by the way, as far as the letdown spot, that's what I said. I think Deion keeps them from letting down. I really do. I think typically or normally under some coaches, this would be a definite letdown spot. But I just, you know, Deion's the man. I'm telling you right now, get rid of Ryan Day in Columbus. Go offer a bundle to Deion.
You can run. You can throw on Arizona State. They're giving up 29 points per. I think you guys nailed it. It just comes down to motivation. If that second half in Boulder carries over to a game that's not going to be as nationally hyped at Arizona, then Colorado should easily cover the 4.5. And then once we see a team total look to the over there, they're going to score at will against Arizona State if they're motivated, Dustin.
Yeah, I think this could be an interesting point to deploy a guy who's underutilized because they've been trailing so much lately, and that's Dylan Edwards at running back. I think he's a really nice player, and I think this could be a spot where he is just so much more dynamic than anyone that Arizona State defense can handle. He could end up having a big day. I just don't see the Sun Devils having an answer for what is like an open attack for Colorado. I agree with everyone here. I think Colorado wins, they cover, and they move on because you got to remember from a recruiting standpoint, too, for Deion, this is one of those games where you got to get those highlight reels. You got to get those big plays you can send to the recruits and say, come to Boulder. This is what we're going to do to people.
I love the over in this game, guys. 60 points, open game. Look, Kenny Dillingham's team, they want to get up and down, and we know the deficiencies in the Colorado defense. I think it's a great opportunity for Shedeur Sanders and company to get into the high 30s, but I think ASU is going to be able to score points as well.
You can run all over Arizona State. Good job, big guy. 136 yards against on the ground. They are not good all the way around. Hey, quickly, before we go to break, because I want to come back with the NFL. Nebraska, Illinois, Scott. Two teams, not great, but Illinois is laying 3.5 here hosting Nebraska.
It's my hold your nose, go to the window bet for me is Nebraska plus the points here, getting 3.5 there, as you see, and I'll make it real quick. This fits my underdog rushing angle. If I got a team getting points and they're basically even at least – power rating wise with their opponent, the getting points, and they have a better than 2-1 rush angle. They rush for twice as many or more yards than they allow. You grab the points in most instances. Nebraska 209 on the ground themselves. They give up 87. Illinois can't run. They can't stop the run. Nebraska plus the points.
Love it. Love it. Between these two, you got 3.5 hanging there. You got to take the number. Totally agree. When we come back, Scott Spritzer continues NFL next year. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, I got to tell you about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating here on Sharp Money what it takes for a team to go and get to number one. Well, Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. As a warning, the product does contain nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. We welcome you back here, Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dustin Sweetelson, Amal Shaw, and Patrick Maher. Of course, Wednesday, Scott Spritzer, professional handicapper for years and years and years there in Vegas, does a great job. Doc Sports, DOCSports.com. Of course, Scott Wins with two T's on Twitter. And also, you got something cool on Thursdays and Fridays that you're involved in over at Doc. Us Against the Spread, Scott.
Yeah, Us Against the Spread. DocSports.com. It's long. But once you put it into your address bar, that it keeps coming up. Or you can watch it on your phone. It's all set up to fit the phone, formatted to fit the phone just perfectly. But yeah, what we do is we talk about 8 to 10 games on a Thursday in college football for the upcoming weekend, and then we talk about every single Sunday and Monday night football game in the NFL. So it comes up to almost 100 games per month for $19.99 per month. So it's not a bad deal, and we've already had 2 weeks of shows, 4 shows in the books. It's been a really good reaction thus far, so hopefully people will continue to give it a shot. And you know, if they don't like getting 100 games for $20, Patrick, they can always hit the "we don't want to subscribe anymore" button, and then they're out. So there you go.
there you go. And are you going to keep the playoff beard throughout the whole entire season?
I mean, so far so good. if we have your a rough
happy,
weekend.
Your wife's happy with the salt and pepper?
She don't care.
Good with
she
it?
Sees the paycheck, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, do what you got to do. It's one of those things where right now everything's going well, but we'll see what happens, you know, during the football season if we have a bad week or not. If I do have a bad week, the beard comes off. You'll know I had a bad week when I show up on a Wednesday clean shaved. You'll know if I had a losing week or not without me saying a word, so.
Switch up the mojo a little bit.
I am
bit
getting a lot of those. You know what I'm getting a lot of? I do these videos always on YouTube on docs and all this kind of stuff, and I've had a lot of comments. Hey, Scott, man, my hair's turning white too. I get that as much as I get game comments now, and I'm like, it's the lighting. I'm blaming it on the lighting.
It's always the lighting. Hey, and speaking of playoff beards, we got hockey start next Tuesday. You've got preseason hockey. We've got the NHL betting guide out right now. Make sure you go check it out. We've got Johnny Lazarus, new contributors. The guide is great. And then tomorrow we're dropping the NBA betting guide as well. VSiN.com/subscribe. Great job pulling it up there. Liz, Reggie, everybody there at the D doing a great job as well. Okay. I know this one's not officially on your list as far as NFL plays, but I did want to ask you maybe just a lean or just an idea of what you're thinking for tomorrow night. We kick off week 5, the Commanders hosting the Bears. The Bears are in complete disarray right now. A terrible loss when everything was upside down, had an opportunity to win there against Denver at home. They lose it late. Washington's laying 6. You got a total of 44.5, Scott.
Boy, I'm telling you, I don't think I'm going to have we talked about this on a video the other day, and I said if I can get 7 with the Bears, which there were a couple of shops at one point early in the week where it was 7, by the time we talked about this game, it had dropped to 6.5, as you see now, 5.5 there. I can't take the points with the Bears until I see something that works on offense for more than 2 or 3 plays throughout the course of a game. I leaned under also, but there's not much I can say about this game other than I'm going to pass. If I could get 7 with the Bears right now, I would, but that's the lowest I'll go with this team against anybody, including Washington. I'm not real crazy as it, you know, nobody is with the so-called Riverboat Gambler last week and what he did at the end of the regulation, talking about Rivera against Philadelphia. You got to go for 2 there. You're on the road. You're the lesser team, and you're playing for overtime. I think that's kind of crazy, and it came back to bite him. Don't know if he would have got it, but you got to try it. But at that spread right there, as bad as the Bears have played, you know, we know that the NFL is looking to play games in potentially like Spain and Brazil, and eventually they'll put a real team in Chicago. We'll see. But
well, you know, it's funny you brought up the 2-point. A friend of yours and a fellow professional bettor, he put the probability, 47% probability to win that game if you're the Commanders. You go for 2 there. Once you get to overtime, it's right around 38% probability as far as win rate. So, again, Fezzik agrees with you. Should have gone for 2. I think, Amal, you were on the go for 2 train as well there for Rivera.
Yeah, I was a little bit on the fence. I could have lived with either choice. I thought they played well enough in that game where they were competitive that it didn't necessarily feel like you wanted to come down to one play. But I think Scott and Steve both made compelling arguments to why going for it. And Patrick, you said it best on Monday. You said, look, nobody was going to crucify if you went for 2. I mean, you live with the result. You're Washington. You're playing the Super Bowl runner-up. You got an opportunity at the link to steal a game.
Yep. And Rivera said, my team was gassed, so he decided to go play extra football 10 minutes more in overtime. That dude makes no sense whenever he talks. Anywho.
I was going to say, I actually thought he was talking about the Eagles' defense. That would have made sense to me.
No, he was talking about his own team. He is a wild one. Love Rivera. Rivera's just entered that YOLO stage of life. He beat cancer. He keeps getting jobs. He's like, I can't believe they still let me in the building. All right, my team was gassed. Now, a guy that everybody respects, Tomlin. This is on your sheet here, so I want to ask you about Baltimore. Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Interesting spot for Pittsburgh. Baltimore, after a big win in Cleveland, laying 4 at the Steelers, Scott.
Yeah, Ravens ended up being my top play last week, and I wasn't disappointed to watch DTR do what I thought he would. No Deshaun Watson, so he comes out and he throws 3 picks. 3.36 yards per pass attempt outside of the 3 picks. This week you got Pittsburgh who's going to start Trubisky, it looks like, with Pickett being injured, and that's an upgrade for me going to Trubisky. Pickett has looked lost at times this season. He's having a tough time, I think. He's having a tough time dealing with the speed. The level of speed from college to pro seems to be messing with this guy a little bit when he drops back to pass, as far as I'm concerned. And it's kind of funny this year. I've heard some media talking about Lamar's not having to do as much on the ground as he has in years past, and that should help them long term. But I went back and I looked, and I'm like, all right, he's got 41 carries in four games, 10 carries per game, which is right around his career averages since he became the true starting quarterback for Baltimore the previous four seasons, 54 starts, 580 carries. It's 10.7 carries per game. He's basically where he's always been, so I don't understand this. He's not running the ball as much as he usually does. He's almost on par for his career average. Last year's games, we saw 16-13 Pittsburgh, 16-14 Baltimore. 2021, Pittsburgh wins both by a grand total of four games. They've only faced Lamar once in those four games. They did beat him 20-19 on December 5th of 2021. He played well for the most part but lost. Problem for me is I don't like these Pittsburgh offensive numbers, so I'm going to go with the under here, which is low. It says I think it's 38.5. I still think it stays under. I think it stays around 30 points. This could be a 17-13, 16-13 type of game again. And again, when they did see Lamar, it was a 20-19 game, which would go over this total, but you get the gist of it all. It's still a low-scoring game.
Patrick, I just point out one thing real quick. Last year, the Steelers got absolutely decimated in two games. Against the Buffalo Bills, 38-3. They came back the next week. They beat the Buccaneers 20-18, and then they got beat by the Philadelphia Eagles 35-13. They beat the New Orleans Saints the following week by a score of 20-10. I get where Scott's coming from in this breakdown, and it's hard. It is hard to back Pittsburgh if you watched any of that Houston game. But whenever a professional sports team that's been successful or competitive gets embarrassed, you generally get a good concerted effort out of them the next week. And, guys, we know how in this rivalry it always feels like the game comes down to 3 or 4 points.
Tomlin's going to be great at getting his team refocused. Yeah. That's the thing, is he's one of my top 3 or 4 coaches in the last 20 years of the NFL, like a lot of people think he is. I think he gets him refocused too.
Okay, last one up. Not too far from me here in Los Angeles, SoFi. Rams have been a nice little surprise here, Scott. Philly comes to town. Philly's laying 4. You've got a total of 50.5.
Yeah, that Rams offensive line is scary this week because they did take another injury last week. Jackson's questionable up front on the offensive line. And, you know, Stafford looks like he's going to play, but he didn't leave last week's game healthy. He's a little bit banged up too, but this number has dropped a couple of points. Cooper Kupp, last I saw was a few hours ago, and they said he's still questionable for this week's game. The one thing I've noticed about the Rams this year, Stafford averages more pass attempts per game than any team right now in the NFL. So they're going to throw a lot, and Philly does struggle a bit against the pass. Can't run on Philly, but you can throw, but they do give up a lot of passing yards. So a lot of moving parts in this game, guys, when it comes to injuries for the Rams. Probably going to not have Jackson. Missing another offensive lineman. Stafford a little bit banged up. Don't know if Cooper Kupp is going to be out there. If we find out, this is a game I want to wait on, guys. If we find out that Stafford's 90% healthy, I think they come out and they at least hang this number. But do you really want to back the Rams with no Kupp and no Stafford or a less than healthy Stafford? I want them to be at least 90% for this game. I think the Eagles, they might not be doing exactly playing at the level they did last year, but a lot of people keep talking about this team dropping off. I don't think it's that big of a drop-off from last year. So this is what I'm going to do. If we hear good things about Stafford, I'll be on the Rams plus the points of this game.
Beautiful. Okay, and baseball play for you tonight as we say goodbye. You've got the Snakes first five, the Diamondbacks first five.
Yep, taking Gallen in this particular start in the first five innings. I think they get the job done tonight, at least first half of the game.
Okay. You look great under the VEASAN lighting, Scott. I'll just remind you of that. Of course, Doc Sports, DOCSports.com. Scott Wins on Twitter. We'll see you next Wednesday. Thank you so
Thanks,
much,
Patrick.
Scott.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. We'll come back. We'll close it out, close some tabs, and also the top 10 here on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the DraftKings app and use the promo code SHARP, S-H-A-R-P, when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Quick hook for Barrios there with the Jays. What did he make it 3? Gave up nothing. The Twins got the leadoff guy on in the bottom of the 4th. So we shall see. Rangers, Rays. Rangers are going to advance 7-1. Bottom nine, Rays have runners second and third, but two outs there. So we welcome you back here. Sharp Money, playoff baseball, of course, underway. The Diamondbacks 1-0 series lead over the Brewers. They got the pitching edge tonight with Gallen, which we can discuss. Marlins, Phillies, of course, the Phillies 1-0 lead. That crowd was nuts last night. Nola struggled in his two starts against the Fish this year, which we can get into in just a little bit. We welcome you back. Of course, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson there at the D, second level with the bar behind us. Did our friend, did they change shifts there with the bartender behind you, big guy?
Yeah, line change has occurred. However, I am a fan of what has occurred as well.
Yeah, they're wearing with the Drysdale McDavid line right now.
Yeah, it's strong, man. It's a good recruiting class.
So drive time shift there at the at Bar Canada. You're saying strong?
Yeah. I enjoy it. I would do another 3 hours if they wanted me to.
Okay. Have a nice day. You can enjoy yourself.
You can ask John what he's got planned coming up next. Maybe you can stick around, big guy. Oh, I just saw behind you. You're right. It is a lot of talent. Okay. Quickly, we've got a couple of college football. Remember, 50 straight days of football. You're not going to miss anything. So Jacksonville State, Middle Tennessee State. I'm with you, I believe, big guy. I don't know, Amal, where you stand on this one. And also Adam Burke. I played the under 52 yesterday. We're still sitting 52. Middle Tennessee State's laying 3 in this matchup, boys.
Yeah, didn't touch this game. Probably potentially get involved in an in-game opportunity. The Blue Raiders gotten off to a rough start, and I think Adam was right about Rick Stockstill. He's been there too long. They're going to need a change of pace at some point in time, but no opinion on this game from a betting standpoint.
Yeah, I like that under a lot. I've watched a bunch of Jacksonville State games. They've been fun to back a few times, but here's the thing, is they run the ball 66.2% of the time. So that clock's going to be moving. They're only the 79th scoring offense. And they have a really good running back in Malik Jackson. They changed quarterbacks from Zion Webb to Logan Smothers. Smothers is a transfer from Nebraska. He had a good passing game a week ago yards-wise, but he's not efficient. He's very inaccurate. He's young, and he'd prefer to run it a little bit more than he throws it at this point. So I can see them relying on that run game more and not scoring as much. And on the other side for Middle Tennessee, they just do not finish drives. They are not good. They throw it 55% of their snaps, which makes you think that they would move the ball more downfield, but they don't. 70% of their passes are within 10 yards. They're 91st in passing success rate. They're not a high-flying offense. I don't expect points tonight. I could see this game getting into the mid-40s at best.
Low-scoring affair. The vibes are going to be low, like when Rich Rod was at Michigan, Ann Arbor, and he started busting out Josh Groban in the presser. Remember that? When he started singing "I Lift You Up" from Josh Groban, and he'd lost his mind.
Those were great years in Ann Arbor.
I thought it was great. You say it was a great album. Josh Groban did have a great album.
Groban scores more than Jacksonville State, Middle Tennessee State. You know what I'm saying?
I think if you got an album, you hit number one, you should be scoring.
Well, I saw him at Madison Square Garden. He had more people than Jacksonville State's roster.
Yeah, he's got a Derek Jeter thing going. If you look into his past, he's got a Derek Jeter.
He does. Run. It must be the curly lettuce. All right, baseball tonight, boys. Look, again, you're up 1-0 in the series, and you got a pitching matchup in game two. That is Gallen v. Peralta, +120 on the price for the Snakes. That's where I'm at. Fellas, anything from you two?
We got bases loaded with the Twinkies, nobody out.
Yeah,
I just saw you have a meltdown. I loved it in real time.
Diamondbacks here at +118 in this game. I like Zach Gallen. I like the way he's pitched. 17 wins on the season. He's been the Diamondbacks' best pitcher. Good spot here, in my opinion, against a Milwaukee team that I thought could be dangerous. But Corbin Burnes really let them down yesterday. They spot him a 3-run lead. And if you've got an ace and you're at home, you feel like in the postseason that's got to be able to hold up. Does not. It gives up 3 runs right away in the third inning. And we see Arizona come back. I'm going to go with the Diamondbacks here to finish out Milwaukee at Miller Park tonight.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks really showed you that they could turn it on. They're so young. And I love backing a young team in the playoffs sometimes when they're super talented. And they had guys come up in big spots time and time again. They were down 3-0 yesterday, and they came back and won that game. And I only was paying attention to it because I had the Brewers in the first five. I wish this was a 7-game series because this, to me, would be a fun series to watch play out. I'm on the under in that one. I see Peralta being really strong for Milwaukee tonight, and I think Gallen's issues on the road don't show up.
Yeah, by the way, quick single by Carlos Correa, and Dustin's going to be very proud of this. Mm. Very good third base coaching and base running by the Twinkies not to force an attempt at home that would have probably been nailed. So bases loaded. The merry-go-round continues, and nobody out. Huge error by Kevin Biggio earlier in this inning.
I know you got big prices on your future plays there with the Brewers, big guy, but I love watching the D-backs.
Well, I got good numbers on Arizona, too.
Don't strike out. Manufacture runs. They run a ton. Steal bases. Just a fun team to watch.
So to your point, though, so I did during the show, I just put a couple extra bucks down on 20-1 on the D-backs to even things out some. That way, when I lose the Brewers, when Arizona advances, that D-backs, the four bets I have in them, 80-1, 34-1, and now 20-1.
Donkey to donk. You're not going to go to the gym today, are you?
I'm going to go for a walk. We're going to just cardio it up for about a month, get that back into the right way, because here's the deal. When I tie my shoes, the noises that are coming out of my body are not natural at the moment. And I think cardiovascularly, that is the goal that we need to accomplish first, is get the heart back going, because you can't tell if I just ran a marathon or I just tied my shoes in the morning.
Jump okay. rope.
I live on the third floor. The people okay. below me will move out if 350 pounds is jumping rope.
Or you'll join them.
Or they get a new roommate. Yeah. Also,
Marlins, Phillies. Again, I think the two starts against the Fish this year, Nola wasn't great. It's a different scenario. $1.45 at home. Where are you guys at on this one?
Look, I'm lukewarm on Aaron Nola. I'm not as high on him as maybe some other people are. Braxton Garrett getting the start here for the Marlins. My only concern with the Marlins, they just don't score a ton. But I think Garrett's good enough of a pitcher to go on the road and get this W for the Marlins. You know, minus his last start, he had been very, very effective in his previous four starts to that. So I'm going to give – I didn't play it, but I would give the Marlins a look here.
I am backing Philadelphia, and I do not have the numbers to support this. This is totally a feel and vibe thing. Aaron Nola has had a very bad year, especially by his standards. He's a guy that's going to be a free agent this offseason. That's why I'm backing him tonight. I think a strong postseason puts more money in his pockets, and I think that atmosphere in Philadelphia is insane for anyone to walk into in the postseason.
You know how many times next year when we preview the 2024 Major League Baseball season, we're going to say, you guys know the Marlins made the postseason last year, right?
And by the way, if they lose tonight, you're going to have to definitely remind us of that.
The fact that that team made the postseason is wild. Let's get to the top 10. I like this one. You go to the gas station, you pick up a snack. It's an American tradition, big guy. Let's go.
We're road tripping. So we had beef jerky at 10, Snickers at 9, cheddar cheese combos 8, peanut butter M&Ms at 7, honey roasted cashews coming at number 6. This kind of goes with the theme. I like multiple things and a bunch of pieces. I can throw a couple in my mouth at a time as we go down the road. Also, you could pretend it's healthy even though it's not. It's covered in honey and sugar.
And people savory think, and sweet.
Yeah, people think cashews are healthy. And I can tell you from looking at my body, cashews are not healthy. They're not good for you. They're horrible for you. They're very high in calories. But honey roasted cashews are freaking delicious.
Delicious.
And when you're on the road trip, you don't want to get tired. And I don't think it's going to weigh you down and make you feel tired. So then, and then number 5, you need a good chip. And to me, the classic across the board, nacho cheese Dorito, you can never go wrong with. It'll never let you down. If you're ever in a gas station, you don't know what chip you want, trust me, you want the nacho cheese Dorito.
Whose cheese is it? Nacho cheese. I'm eating it. Hey, by the way, it's impossible when you're at a gas station to get tired. All you have to do is pick up a very healthy Monster energy drink to complement the honey roasted cashews.
My heart is not healthy enough for energy drinks.
Yeah, not great. Nacho cheese Doritos. Oh, Doritos. Not like literally where you actually make the nachos
station. No, like Doritos. Yeah. No, not that. You can't eat and drive that. I mean, I have, but I usually have to bring a second shirt in the car if I'm going to do that.
Nacho cheese Doritos are aces.
Better than Cool Ranch?
Oh, not even close.
Agreed.
All right. Cool Ranch may be on the list. You never know with the big guy. He's going to troll us at one and have, like, celery. Brock Vereen, thank you. Mike Palm, thank you. Scott Spritzer, fellas, have a great Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow right here. Take care. Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.